Planning Commission work meeting, Wednesday, May 18th, at 8:18 PM at the Wasatch County Services Building, Conference Room B, 55 South 500 East, Beaver City. So, several have asked for a work meeting, and seeing we have to schedule a room, and it has to be recorded, and we have to do public notice and agenda, they decided that it was best just to call it for after this meeting. So, kind of the purpose for this one, I wish we had the other three here. Because Pam's one of the ones that wanted the work meeting, but...
So, the next question is, are they here?
No.
I think you guys should...
Byron wanted one, too.
Okay.
I hate meetings, by the way.
You hate meetings?
I do.
Wonder what?
Been in a few.
Yeah. Okay, so...
So, what are we looking at here first?
The general plan, and I think Ryan gave a good introduction to this, because he said, okay, at build-out, this is how many houses we have. It all depends on what build-out means.
Yeah.
And I'm not pushing for a bigger build-out, definitely not. But that's really what the general plan's about, is what is build-out going to be for, you know, what we see in the future.
Can I just point out that this was re-adopted, even though it says 2009? In its entirety, it was re-adopted, but it wasn't... No.
It would have been
re-adopted twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the dates weren't changed, and then I wasn't okay with changing the original document, so I will, but this isn't...
So, the most recent date?
This, the same document was re-adopted.
Yeah, I think next year is our 5 years.
Yeah.
So, beginning, we've got to be done by the beginning of the year.
But I just wanted to point that out, because 2009 is like, why are you handing us that document? But it was the same document, and it was re-adopted. It just, the document itself was not updated with the adoption date. So this is actually the current document.
Okay.
I just didn't want anybody to get confused, like, why are you handing us this?
Yeah.
That's a good point. We're in compliance with our update, so...
Yeah, it just wasn't changed. That was just a clerical error.
Okay.
So as we go through this, I think the first page is kind of just explanation. I don't know if there's anything we need to change on that.
I guess one of my questions as I was going through, because this is the same thing that we got handed out like 2 months ago or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I'm just trying to understand what we really want here, is foster commercial and light industrial development that will strengthen the economic base of the town. I guess that was one of the questions I've had ever since even our last election, was is that really what we want? We hear all the time people screaming about they don't want it around them, and then some people say that it helps the tax base, some people say it's not really helping our base. I think at one point we had a discussion about this, Eric, but I don't know that we really gain anything from that. And I don't know that, you know, this changes anything there, but like, I just feel like if we're gonna say it, then let's believe it and own it.
Well, it'd be interesting to know what kind of revenue the town gets from our commercial. And I wonder if that would be worth asking the council for that information.
Yeah, it's only public information anyway. Well, our biggest thing that we get is the sales tax is not big, but the property tax. When that value goes up, I mean, that's at 100% taxation.
Yeah, but still a very small portion of that comes to Daniel.
Yeah, what percent comes back to the town?
And what is our percent? 0.466 or something, 0.0466.
Well, and that will change.
We set the tax rate.
But it will change. depending on the valuation of the properties, it changes.
Well, that number will change, the rate won't change. That number will change as the value goes up. We'll get a bigger chunk.
No.
.046 is what the town works.
We set that tax rate.
Yeah.
Well, maybe on that one, but normally valuation goes up, it goes to the state, and the state adjusts the tax rate. Unless you have a truth in taxation hearing, it adjusts the percentage down because you're not allowed to get a higher percentage of properties.
Yeah, but I don't think you have to have one to go down. You have to have one to go up.
Right.
Right. If we do nothing, that's why if you look at the Daniel tax, it has continually gone down that rate until last year, and then it went up.
But I think, yeah, if property changes to commercial, then that rate, you know, that adjustment doesn't happen.
I think what they're saying is that if half of our town valuation was commercial, we would do a truth in taxation rate and make it whatever we want it to be. But the vast majority of property tax in the town would then be paid by the commercial.
Yeah, they're going to bear more of the burden.
So the rate would change, but your check would not, or your check would go down.
Right.
I don't think we'll ever get to half, but it was a good analysis.
So it does cost a lot to administer commercial property.
And then why? Like, I guess help me understand, what is it about them that...
They just, the regulations, they're always, it seems like there, that's where we have the issues with them pushing the envelope, using the extra water, doing the parking problem, not adhering to town code. And so you're, to do that, they don't live here. They don't really care what your town code is.
Sure.
And a lot of this commercial is built by developers and they sell it and move. I mean, their interest is to get it built and go. And so we see that a lot. That's one of the reasons that we require, if you come into the town and you go commercial, you turn your irrigation shares over to the town. So when you leave, we have water to irrigate that commercial area. And then we collect that from the well. We should be collecting that from the commercial owners, but we haven't done that in the past. So,
I guess the other thing with the water system, just because I experienced this recently, is they shut the water off during the day so that it's back on when everyone gets home at night. To shut off my business during the day and turn it back on when I get home at night. It's not real helpful, you know? So how we do things in Daniel was, you know, same logic, this is Charleston Water doing that. But it creates a different mentality, it's a different logic and a different expectation. If you've got businesses that are, you know, their livelihood depends on your services, shutting them off is a big deal. When you've got a home and you shut it off for a few hours, I'm not saying they're not mad, but life goes on.
Charleston shuts off the water to that building during the day?
They have. So when they've had problems, they explicitly shut it off during the day because they don't want to affect their customers. Which I'm just saying, it's an example, but it's a relevant example of stupid little things you don't think about.
Sure.
But when now, right now,
our... How does the fire marshal deal with that?
Well, so you shut, we can shut our water system off. When we have emergencies, we have to shut things down. It happens.
True.
So you can shut your water system off for maintenance. It happens. How does the fire marshal feel? Not great, but they understand that you get it back up.
Keep it alive.
But I just meant that as an example of how are things different to administer with commercial. You know, right now we have largely residential, so I would do the same thing. Shut it off at 10, get it back on by 3. Most homeowners are going to be out. They won't even notice. Well, now all of a sudden we've got a bunch of commercial on it. Well, 10 to 3 is going to really screw up the lunch hour for that restaurant that we don't have.
With the daycare.
Gotcha.
Okay. But I think it's a good point. It says to foster commercial and light industrial development that will strengthen the economic base of the town, and we'll need to figure out what that means. Because I don't think we have any clue when we're approving things for the most part.
That's my problem. I have no vision of how we're going to bring commercial versus what are we going to hold out, what are we going to have hold, you know, allow in, what type do we want, you know.
It'd be good to make that vision versus just waiting until they come to
that's
us.
That's correct.
And say yes.
That's
no,
why I'm asking for this meeting. What is it that we want, and where do we want to designate it to be? Maybe we want it this kind here and this kind there, and maybe some of our commercial stuff is going to, well, it's going to impact neighbors. But
it'll impact somebody.
Yeah, every time.
Every time.
Didn't the town have like a vision statement you guys drafted up? Like I don't know how long ago this was, like 8 or 10 years ago or something like that. I swear I remember hearing something.
We have a vision statement, but we don't do the map because everybody got really mad at the map. As soon as we put colors on a map, oh my gosh, we had resident showed up and they didn't want to be Brown. They didn't want to be next to Brown. And so they have the land use map is what they called it. And so we have the land use that speaks about the corridors along the highway corridors because we don't have a main street.
Sure.
We're kind of backwards, but, and that's really not a bad thing in my eyes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the impacts to the town itself are minimal on
yeah, that. Far less.
So it's hard to get water to it.
Yeah.
That's
well,
right.
Well, the right business.
That's why it was. That's why it was brown. It wasn't green.
if the right business no comes, it'll be easy to get water to it.
Like I learned in engineering school, the water flows to a lower gradient, a lower potential energy. Since I got out of school, I've learned it flows towards money. If you do a commercial park, it'll have water.
Yeah. So what kind of business do you want?
I think a great question that was asked is what generates tax revenue? Because
yeah.
Different types of businesses are, it's all across the board. Warehouses, storage units, office space like we have?
Not much.
Zero.
Yeah, you need sales.
So. You know,
yeah, we
retail
a,
sales.
A good one down there in the corner.
Yeah, retail sales, Walmart, gas stations. And I'm not saying we want these things, but those things, you know, the boat sales, car dealers, they generate a lot.
That was one we missed. That was a strikeout for us.
Well, I think you guys need a list, and I don't have that list. I'm not the guy, but you know, what's in our general plan? What do we allow in our commercial units? You know, if the goal is to help financially, let's not do storage units that don't help financially.
But then on the other side of that is we don't have sewer. So we can't offer a lot of things like a hotel.
That are going to bring all that sales tax revenue.
Yeah, I mean, you have the services that you have to provide to get that, to attract that kind of business, costs money. And you're administering it.
Soda Stream, probably lots of sales tax, but also lots of traffic. But
yeah. If it's on the highway corridor, though.
Yeah. In and out.
Everything I described that was tax rich is a lot of traffic, which is another downside. So it's a trade off. Are we really ahead? Maybe not.
Yeah, but you've got what kind of a commercial business are we going to stick out on Highway 40? That's going to bring additional traffic to there that's not already flowing.
Well, right? On Highway 40, that's why putting them on the corridors, I think, is brilliant, because we have, so on Highway 40, we have sewer, access to sewer. So we put some, I don't know, Soda Stream thing, restaurant that has huge traffic impacts and huge water and sewer demands, we get the tax benefit, and you're right. How many of them are gonna drive through Daniel on their way home? Probably no more than already do.
Probably Daniel that's over there.
Yeah.
Probably is now, but anyway.
Well, so I think that's.
We'll have to drive to
Eber. So I think that's a great example. Here's a place we have sewer and we have traffic impacts to the town are negligible. Let's use it. You know, do we want to take the trailer park and make that a big hotel? Well, it's right in the middle of town. Traffic impacts would be horrible. You know, no sewer or other thing. Yeah, probably not. And then 3000 South is its own issue. I don't think we're limited, just to make this more complicated, limited to just, you know, we have a commercial zone.
I was going to say, can we define that more narrowly for different zones? Then I'm sure we can. Or is that us, or is that the town council?
Can we look at a map?
Define the different zones.
Yeah, we actually did that 2 years ago, was it?
Because like Heber City has a lot of different zones, right?
Yeah.
We can go a lot more granular than what we're doing
what was
today.
Allowed in each of the... You know, as a use in each of the zones.
What if we shove these tables together and just roll that out right here?
Yeah, I was just going to roll it out
right on that map.
Well, there, I've got these two.
But you got zoning?
Zoning's on here. Allegedly, I haven't rolled them out.
Yeah, roll them out? Yeah, pull them out. Let's see what we got.
We can do that or pull it out.
Pull it up there, too.
Can we pull this back so we can see the whole town?
All right.
This is how we can measure.
Do you have updated zoning?
Actually,
I approved the zoning map this morning when we were printing those maps. I don't know. Does it look good?
Yeah.
I never. So I. Anyway.
That's the right name off the office.
So we're in a work session now, so I got back to the office at 6:45 and grabbed those maps and ran. I don't actually know what they look like.
It might still be wet.
That one has zoning on it.
This one?
Yes, it's open, I see it open, I see zoning.
It's not the right. Is that your question?
Yeah, my question was, is it right? And he answered, no?
No.
All right, well, I have the wrong zoning map.
Okay, that's all right. It's, so these commercial corridors are the ones that the county gave us. So that was the zoning, we inherited that from the county. This one here, we created. This one here was already done.
And this is the way deal right here, right?
Yeah. And then Mark here. Mark,
With Mark McAllister.
Yep.
So this is, do you think this is correct as current today over on this side?
Pretty close. We got just a Trinell piece there is filled in, and then they did a little land swapping. Yeah, they did a little land swapping over here with, Davis's.
Oh, Jerry's.
Yeah. So they did a little bit of, now this map, I'll try, this one will scare the death out of you. Matt came up and asked us, we sat down, went over the, this is future. Tells us in the town what future is gonna happen as far as in the next 10 years.
Yeah, but it comes, where does it come by the airport? Here somewhere?
Somewhere to that, it looks like.
It's there. This is industrial, but it's city.
It's county.
Well, this is county.
Yeah, so.
The yellow is?
Yeah, no.
No, right above the county, right above the yellow.
This is county.
This is county.
This is county.
Right. And so this is in Daniel. This runs down the middle of parcels. So if you look at the parcel map, these parcels come clear over into here. And so when we can't do that, we have to, when we annex in, we have to follow property lines. The county, when they built the town, just, you guys figure it out in the future. You're the future. Here we are.
So that was brought up and some of the property owners had a problem.
Yeah, I actually put together a plan to annex these and close that hole in because it really is an island.
Yeah.
And state law speaks against the islands, that's a good reason to annex without a petition.
So who had a hard time with it?
Some of the owners didn't want to be part of the town. And so.
But I do think that, and I don't know if we can by code, we ought to, if they, before they can do anything on these, we have to annex the whole thing.
Well, they've actually, Erickson piece sold that back piece because when they did that, it created a line, shows two parcels, they sold the back line.
Well, so these are
illegal subdivision.
This is part of these parcels. What's the access to this?
So right here, this is
that's the Erickson parcel.
Erickson parcel, and it comes clear back into here.
Oh, they sold the part that's in the county.
Yes, they sold the part in the county. Because it actually created a new lot line, a new lot number.
But this actually comes down into here.
Yeah.
These properties.
Yeah, just because it has a new lot number doesn't mean that it's a legal subdivision.
Right. But that's what
happens. Depends on what the county does, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's their decision.
Yeah, so that's, and then this parcel right here, is this McCarthy? So he changed that back to RA5. Because he wanted to build a house on that property. It was industrial and we won't let him. So that one's been changed back to RA5 so he could live there.
The Geneva Rock that was here last time, they were right here somewhere?
Right here.
Yeah.
That's what the
triangle
is. Yeah, see, so that industrial goes right across that road based on that line that the county commissioner drew.
And then, where's the airport going? Just go through it.
Yeah, it pours down in here somewhere.
Is this the end of the asphalt or something?
This is separation of the town, that line, and the town.
There you go.
Here's your line.
Yep, you want a town, here's your line, figure it out later.
And they created the industrial zoning with that, or gave that to us?
The industrial zoning was there. All this was.
That was already that, what it was.
And so Heber City's about right here, and so they're just that strip of county.
In the middle.
And when they got their new, when Heber City got their new manager, he had this whole area designed as an industrial park, and then he figured out it wasn't in Heber, so.
And Heber City hasn't tried to snag that island, or have they, or?
They're tied up out north.
They got bigger.
Yeah, so I was working with Tony.
Yeah.
To work out an agreement, because state law also allows two municipalities to equalize on a border.
Close that.
Without having the owners involved. It's just an agreement between the two municipality boundaries. And so I was working with Tony with that, and then it just kind of, it fell to the side. We held public hearings and everything, and then it just kind of, nobody really wanted to push it.
So there's really no access to this?
No.
As a commercial zone?
Well.
Every industry.
It would be on Erickson's.
Yeah, but you've got to get through.
Yeah.
The parcel, right? So I have a house, and then I've got this little bottom section that I can.
What did we settle on that at some point? Didn't that come up with some, one of these houses over here, accessing industrial through residential?
So there's a lot, this is a little, two different zonings.
So what, I know that came up as an issue a few years back.
A couple months ago. Still an issue. We have people that have industrial property on the back of their property, and they don't have access.
And so what, I guess what has been the town's position on accessing their industrial through their residential to use?
It's against code.
To access industrial that way?
So that's what I'm asking, is if we went to the county and said, can we annex that?
Yeah, the county.
Is there access to the backs of these properties?
So this one here on this parcel, it'll show you that road comes in.
That's across the.
So these are the parcels. You can see that the.
Okay, so this is our line here.
See, their parcels are up part of this line. Mm-hmm. This little block right here is county.
This block.
This little area you can see right here is all county.
RJ.
Yep, he's in the county.
Coleman's.
Yeah, and that's when we got a lot of feedback from Coleman's, Erickson's. But like I said, the Erickson parcel sold this back piece. This one here, they sold. Once the county put the different, because it's a two.
Gave them a new line.
Yeah, they gave them a new line and a new number, so they sold this back piece to the developer. Now the county has just bought this piece. That's the new Diamond K Waste Transfer Station. The county has purchased that. For transfer station.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 5.3 million.
So, this piece, there's houses back in here. Did this get changed?
No. So when there's a parcel that has two different zones, mm-hmm. then the planning commission has the final say on how that entire parcel is the use
where,
on it.
Where's that? Right here.
Okay. But that's where
Dan Brown.
So I just.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Should be probably under Richie.
Yeah, they're east of Joe Webb. They're
probably under Richie on the name.
Yeah.
Right here. You got an old picture, old satellite here.
Yes.
Yeah, it's this one. It's this one right here. Because there's. Yeah.
The breeder's old place.
Breeder's old place and
I'm just trying to go off of what I know.
The old breeder place.
That's how it works.
I don't know who lives there now. I know Rex lived there.
Bruce Jensen Reed.
Yeah.
I know my dog gets the haircut there, but I don't know.
How do they get
the road? Road now. So is that a private road then?
Yes.
So you've got Clients and Browns and Karens.
There is a public right-of-way there, so what we do is we require them to dedicate the right-of-way, and then we allow them to build a private road in it. So if we ever wanted it to become a road, it's ours, but we're not responsible to maintain the driveway they put down.
We try and do that on all the roads of these subdivisions, as
and make it public, but they could do their private on it. But if the town needs it, then it's a public right of way going through.
The idea is all the dead end roads we don't want to have to deal with. But at the same time, we have right of ways that are dedicated, set aside. So if we ever think we want a road that goes through, we could do that.
That's what happens.
That's why it goes all the way through the back of the property.
Comes all the way to the end, because you never know when this road's going to connect.
Sure.
I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen down the road and what.
Which is, I still find that gated community funny. It's like, it's a gated community, you know, we'll file the gate, but once we punch that road through, it's not going to work out like that.
At one point, we had a planning meeting probably 15 years ago, and they had a road right up through here. And then I got the meeting a little bit late, and it got scribbled out as soon as I walked in the door.
Yeah, but that, if that ever does happen, then that will be the interconnect for this water system, bringing all that extra water.
So is this still P-160?
Which? Yes. Where the county, yeah.
Okay. Where the county didn't follow the rules.
That's correct.
That's the gravel pit?
No, that's Eric's house and the school and Kevin's.
So.
And this 10-acre piece that's landlocked.
So these guys wanted to use this as industrial, the way it's zoned now?
It has a 10-foot right of way.
Somebody would have to put like, would their private road wouldn't be enough to let us, let them access that?
It would be if the town accepted that road as their, as the right of way. The town would have to decide that that's what they wanted to do.
But there's no way they could force something through that way and say, we're going to put in a public road, pay for whatever and make the town.
They can't force a road.
They can't force a road.
You guys would have to say, yeah, we want a road. Like this one, this one right here has been very contentious because of their first property. Comes along the old canal here. So half of their property are A5, which they did on purpose. 500 foot back was all residential because that was going to be the buffer between the industrial zone and residential. So that was done on purpose back. Gosh, it was before 2000. That's when I came over in 2000. It was done prior to that. That's the reason that the Rock Yard has all this, all their monuments and things out here, because there's actually a, in the county code, 500 foot back has was residential. They wasn't able to encroach in that.
So they couldn't build anything.
Right. They tried to keep the commercial back. And then the concrete place in there, and Heber City changed that. So in Heber City, it comes over the Dammit Road. Mayor Phillips said, sometimes the road's the best line to draw between uses. The people across the road didn't think so.
Sure.
So this map here, Matt came up and said, okay, so this is your town. What's going to happen here in the next, I think it's, what is that? 2050. What's going to happen in your town by 2050? So we went through and looked at all this and said, this is how much we think it's going to grow by 2050. Nobody knows what it's going to do by
2050. Yeah, I don't know what this means. What do the colors mean here?
Well, it's red.
Very high growth.
Red is where we think the development's coming. We decided this or they decided this?
We decided this with them.
Okay.
Yep.
Joint effort.
Yep. There was lots of
reference.
I think this was the meeting where they crossed the road.
This is Mill Road, isn't it?
Well, that's Mill Road.
3,000.
Okay, thanks.
So this would be Daniel Road.
Yeah. Roughly, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So Mill Road, Daniel Road. Mill Road.
It's DR.
Daniel Road.
I was talking for the next time we met. So there are lots of folks involved in that.
Big hollow, that'd be South Skidmore.
they really thought we should have more numbers in there. We said, no, we don't really see that changing.
The only other one going that way.
But again, we're looking at 2050.
Yeah.
So is there, reasons why we would want to show more or less in terms of what we think it's gonna grow? I mean, grants, like funding, crap like that, right?
Exactly. That was tied to the grants and to the, our funding for studies runs on this plant. And I think Bob was an intern then, and now he's the head of MAG, does our funding department, so he's the one that did that.
So what did you consider very high? Any idea? Like 1 acre lots or?
That was high density. That's as high as we even thought about was 1 acre lots. I mean, the people didn't even want that, but we have a lot of folks in the town that think 5 acres is too much to deal with. And they want 1 acre lots.
So what requires more water, to irrigate 5 acres or to have 4 houses on it?
Depends on how you water your lawn, right, with houses?
I mean, it depends a little bit on how the landscape works, but typically the field will use more water than the homes.
Which could be another way that all the wells dry up.
But we know that the RA1 can't happen until we have sewer.
Right, yeah.
So the pristine water classification in this valley won't handle that, so. I mean, you look out. I really do think that one day they're gonna get a bad rating in Deer Creek and the whole valley will be on sewer. I think the EPA's gonna show up and you're getting on sewer.
So what does that look like when that happens? Like, what do they do?
I don't think it's very far down.
They show up and they say, we have 75%, you're kicking in 25%.
We're digging up the roads and you're getting a sewer line.
Means we could have sewer within 15 years.
Salt Lake, East Bend, Coosie Water, you guys are the top.
That happens and they.
We're done.
DEQ is gonna fund the project and they're gonna say, it's coming, make it happen. And then, yeah, they're gonna go down all the roads. So I have an unpublished plan in my office of what that looks like and how that works so that when it happens, we don't have the whole crap. We should start thinking about this.
Because there's actually a large amount of water that comes from the valley, goes into Deer Creek. And that's one of the reasons why we kind of supported the pipeline and the irrigation projects, because this actually is more storage for the.
It's called the Morris Decree. You look up the Morris Decree and they haven't messed with the water rights in the Heber Valley because Provo relies on that. We water it heavy in the spring and it goes down and catches up in the fall, later summer months for those down there. So it actually has a decree on that water, so they haven't messed with us too much. But things, everything changes.
It could happen, but it's less likely to happen because it is extra storage to take the spring water and, you know.
Same thing happens to Heber, doesn't it?
Sort of.
Some of that come off into Jordan Hill?
A very small portion, most of it goes the other way.
Is it?
But I mean, the concept is
There's the canal that brings the Weaver River water over, but.
Yeah, not this year.
Yeah, that got sold back to Weaver this year.
I don't know, it was pretty full when I came over today.
Pretty high, no, the canal. The canal's a high water, right? So they're keeping everything on that side going down to Weaver this year.
It's full going past my building. So to the top.
The Weaver Canal?
Is it coming down the falls there down?
I own a building right on the 248 and the bridge that crosses it. And that sector was pretty full.
Really?
Huh. They must have excess flow.
And the river bottoms through there just like they always are. It's just a big river through there, and that doesn't happen if that canal's not.
Well, there's 500 CFS coming through the New City Tunnel right now.
Cool.
So a strawberry
nice
water.
To see, yeah, what I thought we were gonna get.
So the Provo's at 1,000, it's at 1,500 right now.
Well, they left all that water and there are all those trees and they keep it up.
So what decisions do we need to make as far as this plant's going? We got commercial, what do we want to do? Mm-hmm. Is it advantageous for us to approach the county to, I mean, this has less impact if you can enter make some roads off of that airport road or a frontage across there.
That could be brought up again, but that was definitely a hot issue.
Yeah, I mean, he told us when we had annexed him without his permission, he was hot.
Who is it?
There you go, you had to ask.
I think if you did meetings ahead of time, I mean, I think the way we did it, I think was part of the problem. I'm not pointing any fingers at how it was, I'm just, the way it worked out in hindsight.
Meet with property owners, one-on-one, your benefits.
If you went and knocked on the doors and said, this is what we're doing, here's our background, one-on-one, had some meetings, and then went to the public process, I think you would get a different reaction. You might still get some.
I think at this point, we'd get the same reaction.
I don't think anybody wants any commercial stuff on their property or next to it.
I think over there.
What do you do?
Golden Park.
He does. I cross the street from him, I know him well, he does. I mean, that's what he's trying to preserve. And if I'm in his shoes, I'm looking at it saying.
That's worth the most money.
Why would I want to come into Daniel if you're not gonna let me go as dense as what I could do either in the county or if I go to Heber City and get it sucked in? Like, I don't blame him there. Like, that's.
Until we have sewer system, there's not.
Yeah, what's he gonna get out of being part of Daniel? Not much.
Who's that?
Scott Coleman. But I think that was part of the debate is when they came in, they said, you can't take my property and zone it RA5. It's already better than that. And so they were mad, some of them, not all of them, were mad because they thought they were getting a down zone as part of the annexation. So some communication ahead of time, that's not what we're doing here. I think we could, now I'm not saying you're gonna please everybody, but I mean, Charleston did the same thing with that other annexation. They never talked to anybody. They hired Lewis and Young, they did a study. They presented the study at the city council meeting, and the first time the property owner knew that they were up for annexation was they're sitting in the back about another agenda item, and they're like, hey, look, that's my parcel.
Yeah.
Wait,
no,
what the
I
hell?
Agree. But is it advantageous to even pursue pissed, that if we take the rest of these properties and if we can create access, whether it's a second road that goes along that.
Where's the money going to come from to create access?
Well, I don't know, but.
When you grant the approvals, they will, you know. This condition of the approval.
Heber City has ran roads right to there. I don't know if you've been around to that side.
I'd say it's this one, right? This is the whole.
Yeah.
Probst Electric, everything.
Right.
It punches right to Coleman's field.
Right to the border. That's right.
And so if we had annexed, if we annex up to that border, we can tie into that road.
Right.
One reason why we haven't pushed any roads up to our boundary is because then you can't tie into them. But
yeah, that's definitely been a.
Tied in, you could, I mean, we could take all of our traffic and route it up to that road they stopped through. If it was annexed to our border. I'm not saying we want to, or not, I don't know why that makes sense, but, you know, so that the road stopped. So I like that. I've kind of drawn some sketches of that same thing.
I'm just kind of saying if we're trying to mitigate the impact of traffic and noise and lights and all of that, this is kind of the furthest from our residential stuff.
Right, it's the edge of town.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's the airport. And that's why they put it there. They thought it was a buffer between the airport and the residents. But the problem was it was industrial. So
this wouldn't be anything that the whole sewer with Charleston thing could tied with any of that, right?
Not anywhere near enough capacity, but that thing. No, the deal we have here would help down here.
And you probably have to push underneath the runway to.
Yeah, to do this, we'd have to do, it would get interesting. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Well, I just mean it more, I guess, this, tying into the Probst up.
Oh, so that's Heber.
Well, but it's not really Charleston's sewer district anyways, right?
Yeah, so it would have to, that would have to be a whole separate deal we would have to strike with Heber, which.
So that would be with Heber, that wouldn't, it would you be couldn't Heber maneuver Heber. That one through the Charleston deal?
No, we'd have to make that at our own deal.
But if we're really 10 to 15 years from DEQ mandating sewer system and helping to fund it,
then
we'd be better off to wait.
To wait, yeah. I agree.
But I don't know if that's true.
Well, we don't.
It could be that fast, it could be forever, I don't know.
Hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
We don't need any more pollution at Deer Creek.
No, but that back to the commercial and what makes us money, that was part of the Charleston thing and trying to get a few ERUs down in that corner was that if we want to have high value commercial there, we really need sewer. How do we do it? That was, you know, one idea.
But the issue is when you create stuff down here on the corner of 3000, you're also gonna increase your traffic flow.
Yeah, and I...
If you put your commercial sub here...
Dead end right there.
Yeah, a bunch of dead end roads back here. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're gonna end up...
I like the dead end roads back into Heber. That's, I've sketched that a couple times. With the light, I think you make this commercial, and we need to do some work on our roads here to make it unfavorable to go. Because right now, I mean, if nothing changes and we don't develop anything, with that light, more and more traffic is going down through that stuff, and it's gonna continue to grow. And Charleston's gonna continue to do their thing and become an attraction, and they're gonna go straight. So if we do nothing, we have a problem. If we do something, my theory is if we do something, I have somebody else to pay the bill to do, to build something that slows it down and helps it. So,
like what?
So the ideas we came up with, and this will sound counterintuitive at first, but add a dedicated turn lane, so it's three lanes from, I'm gonna say from here, I don't remember exactly where I drew, but three lanes from here this way, and then still the only two lanes this way, with some bulb outs and stop signs and residential. And then on here, we require basically right in, right outs, except for one little secret passage in the back for us residents, because we had them, at one point, we had them all right in, right out. If you went into this development, you had to turn and go back out to the highway. Somebody brought up when they get their Mountain Dew on their way home, how do they get to their house? And I said, you go back out. And then there was a left out. So you make one left out that's not easy to get to.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if you're familiar with the bulb outs, but it basically a narrow spot in the road. So what I want is as you come out of here, you look left and you look right, you see back out to the highway with a big sign that says two Strawberry and two everywhere is this way. You see a three lane road back up to a light that takes you to highway. And the other way you see this narrow little road with a couple signs that says, welcome to the Daniel Residential. I don't know what it says, but you know.
15 miles an hour.
Welcome, yeah.
For the first 100 feet.
Yeah, 15 miles an hour, residential only, no outlet. And if you're in an RV and you're like, huh, what do I do? Google says go that way.
Can you put in a speed bump?
Yeah, we can put in speed. Yeah, we can.
It comes up a lot.
There's a lot of research that says that's not helpful. And if we do, we're gonna have to buy a couple snowplows because we're gonna lose our snowplow drivers.
There actually was a speed bump there for a while in front of about where Jensen's house is. This is a long, long time ago. They excavated for a line or something or other and didn't fill it.
Yeah.
And it was the deer hunt. And some guy came up late at night, doing 90 miles an hour up that road and hit that. And it ripped the front axle out of his truck.
Oh.
So that's a speed bump.
Pictures of that.
It was county then.
Yeah. Probably sued somebody. Okay.
So I don't know that I have all the answers.
I don't know if we need to make any specific decisions, but we need to have ideas.
Right.
And this should be commercial. This should be something we're working on. These poor guys, we've got to figure something out long term for them. One direction.
Because this property line goes all the way back to here, right?
Yeah.
And he's been in here.
And he can't use anything back here.
Is that the little brown house?
This is Keel's, isn't it? Here, that's I think.
Oh, the narrow one is.
Yeah. So which one is this?
That's Coleman's.
This is Coleman's. Isn't there a garage back in here?
Oh no.
There's some where
does it seem like truck stuff back here?
Coleman's is right on the edge. Coleman's is right on the edge. Yeah. You go back, and their shop is in the county.
Is it?
This is Coleman's.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that shop is in the county.
It's in the county.
Right.
Yeah.
So that one's not necessarily an issue for us.
I mean, it kind of is.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying this is too.
Right.
Yeah, the residential front.
Yeah. He was very surprised when he found out that the front was already in the town. Then that's when he accused us of annexing that property without his knowledge.
That.
And I'm like, you got to show me. You keep telling me that the boundary has not changed since 2006. Show me where we did that. And he never came to another meeting.
This was the best idea I came up with. And you need a second access somewhere. But basically, that line is already stubbed. Mm-hmm. Come down and then cul-de-sacs off each end. And then that's the only access. So then no access out this way, which is problematic for the record, and no access down this way.
Okay.
Do we already have a road that comes in right here somewhere with all the Probst stuff?
Yeah, Probst has one right to the edge.
Right to there. So you get your second access.
I think there's at least two. It's Probst over here, so you could.
I think it's roughly kind of in that range there.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's only what.
What's the depth of it? Like, is this functional? If you come here, can they split that and have enough for a residential?
So that back property line county is about 500 feet.
This one is.
Back, no, that one, the other way.
This one to the county?
Yeah.
So this is a quarter mile right there, so I'm guessing that's about half of that. So that's probably getting a mile from here to here.
So the answer, the way I drew that, no. If you draw the road on the current boundary and split the actual, you know, we annex it to where there's no county, then I think that that's viable. Because you've got a 60-foot road, you've got roughly, you know, 700 to 1,000 feet on either side of that road. It depends on what they want to build. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of things you can build in that area. There's some huge things you can't. But I don't know that the road's straight. I mean, it's just a...
Yeah. Then the other place that we looked at commercial was up on this end.
Yep.
On this highway corridor. And so...
This one.
Yeah.
Halfway.
Yep.
The nice part is none of that ever brings traffic in, right? As long as we don't have to put in any roads to access it. As long as they keep punching off the highway.
We didn't want to go that way. Yeah, and so that was what we looked at, was coming over here with the road, a frontage road down, because this is going to be a righted intersection on that map you guys got. And you guys saw. So this will be an intersection. So we thought if you did a road down and back, then that would, all this access, you wouldn't even have to connect. You could come, well, you have to have two accesses, so you'd have to connect here and there, one of the two. But you could actually make this whole area commercial, depth-wise on that corridor.
Yeah. But we've got to answer the question.
Do you want?
Does it benefit the town, and do we want it?
That's right.
So I think we've kind of...
So who sees that? Is that like the treasurer? Or something? Like, how do we see who's getting out the sales tax dollars or anything like that?
It should be in our budget. In our budget shows how much we get back on our sales.
But property tax wouldn't show us what was commercial, what was residential.
It would. No, it's just the rate and whatever the property value is what makes that.
So basically, we don't have anything that breaks that out.
We'd have to go look those up on the county website one by one.
Yeah, they would just show sales tax data, but we're not going to be able to see which business is pulling that.
Yeah, you won't, because they do it by area. So even some of those stores are in Heber City, we get those just because of their locale. So they just take the area, and this is what you get. So.
I think you want to, there's folks that have that economic background that can tell you, here's uses, and here's what the tax base, here's what the sales tax revenue, where your typical X, Y, or Z is. I think that's the table you guys want.
I typically don't believe them when they start adding multipliers. But
I feel like that's what we need, though, to understand.
Well, no, which but I think there's the studies. Spent 100 here, and that means 10,000 here, and that means a million here after it goes to here. You know, they start.
And Gary's right, they're absolutely going to give you that. But you can take the first column and just
throw it in the ground.
Guys sat in a meeting with Mike Davis, and these guys were pitching their thing, and this is how much we're going to get. Mike's like, that can't be. That's more than our county budget. Where did you figure that? And it was economic development that had done the studies. Like, that can't be.
There always was.
Well, this is empty, right?
That's the tree. Little nursery there.
Yeah, and so he had an application for commercial, and then he backed off of that. He actually wanted to go into Heber City.
Don't you own one of these somewhere?
This. But that's Heber City.
Yeah, you're on the corner.
Yeah. You want to buy it?
For sale. Tobin, look, it's white.
It's got sewer to it.
Big curve too.
Yeah, come in. Maybe we'll get a real turn lane soon.
Yeah, I think we need to probably call it a night for tonight, but I think this gives us a good introduction.
Well, I think somebody needs to prioritize our meetings so that, okay, let's look at commercial first. I think we're kind of water-wise, I don't know if we've got that much more to discuss at the moment.
No, it seems like right now, I also don't want to give it away.
That's what I just think, that when you give water away, you'll never get it back, so I'll probably vote on almost anything to keep the peanut water going outside of our town.
Same.
So I think, that's why I say, I think water, we're kind of settled. I think we need to look at commercial, and then beyond that.
We were asked about water, but we're not going to be making that decision. But this stuff, yeah, we will.
No, but we could have our views on water put in the master plan.
But that's also has some bearing on why we're doing what we're doing. Land use.
Clearly, putting it where the worst place is for water.
Before you even consider that, I mean, and regardless of how we feel personally, you know, before you even consider, can we give water away? I base this on 500. If it's off, and it is, I just don't know which way or how much.
Yeah.
But we need to know that number for sure. And then if there's still extra water, we can have a discussion. But we can't even have a discussion until you know if there's anything to give away.
That's right.
So who does that? Is that something that your firm does in more depth?
Well, determining, are we going to change
any zoning?
Well, based off of current zoning, I guess, if nothing changed from where we're at today.
If nothing changed, that's pretty close.
You think we're close then?
If nothing's changed, that's pretty good.
We can build every available lot.
About all we could do, at some point we need to go count houses, and then there's the Utah Water Rights site where you can go count wells, and we can probably figure out how many on or anything off, but that's a fair amount of work.
I know it would be easier. Wasn't somebody new on the city council going to figure out how to communicate with everybody by email and stuff from the town? Barry was talking about that. Mm-hmm. If he does that, he can just email everybody and say, are you on an active well or not? That sounds a lot easier.
And we can figure it out because we have the addresses for all the customers. So, I mean, we can do it with a map. It's just going to take a few hours. And there's obviously a better analysis we can do, and I've thought about it, is we take the number of all the parcels in the town now. That's a number.
Yep.
Right? Assume that all of them are going to get built. Maybe some of them are legal, that's a record, but hey, at this level, just assume all of them are going to get built.
Fine, we're up.
And then how many of them are over 10 acres? Because if it's 8, I don't really care, right?
Yeah.
How many of them are over 10 acres? And if it's over 10 acres, we can chop it 2. If it's over 15, we can chop it 3. And then do that analysis, and then if it's over 100, we chop at 25, and then how many lots do we have?
Yeah.
But I'm guessing we're going to end up pretty close to the 400, you know, four high fours, low fives. I could be totally off base, but I feel pretty confident that's where we'll be. The commercial, the industrial, do we want to consider RA1? Those are all the, you know.
Well, we have RA1, so. Until we have more water rights, though.
Well, it's saying how many water rights do we need, and you're going to get them as you rank people.
Yeah. As they come in.
The water rights doesn't scare me.
They'll take care of themselves.
Because as we approve development, a condition is you have to bring water with you, and that's pretty common throughout the state. So
if we were to send water, say, over here, they'd have to do the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. They're bringing that water. We're just delivering it.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the misnomers with all the discussion is we agreed to deliver to use the excess capacity in our storage and our source. The water rights are their issue. We're not, you know, they're bringing their own water rights. They're bringing, you know, they're paying the fees. We're just pumping water, and I'm not.
Yeah.
And the idea was that if we can run our pump and divide, you know, we can create some revenue outside of the town, then when that pump goes bad, we have other people to help pay for it. You know, we say that we don't, one, if there's no excess water, then that deal shut down. And
it's
two,
get more expensive as power rates go up, right? Because there's another one in the works.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Ask it.
Everything. Yeah, I mean everything.
Yeah. Ask it.
Okay, I think we'll get a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, have a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Can you say your names? Because I already put my. So who motioned to adjourn?
Richard, Wild.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
I second.
Okay, Byron second. Okay.
And we all agree.
And I voted yes.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
We all voted yes.
Yes.
Just pick two people at random, it'll all work out. Everyone,